existence. Join the resistance. Come on, let's start by talking tactics. Have a pass and match us. Here's how we practice. The Lost Start a Conversation.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pop Culture Continuum. This is John Elliott.
And this is Patrick Riccardi.
And this week we're doing something.
Special episode.
Yeah, a very special episode. One of us gets molested.
Not me.
We just gave it away.
Shoot.
Nobody even needs to listen.
Let's do the goodbye, music everybody. Thing instead. Do the music thing instead.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. So, yeah, tell them what we're doing, Pat.
So John puts together every month the best music of that month. So we decided to take the 6 months of 2013. We each picked out 10 songs that we especially enjoyed, and we're going to talk about those.
Yeah. So, yeah, every month I do like a mix, like a CD's worth of, although it's all digital, of my favorite songs of that month. And so this, the first 6 months having gone by, we're going to do, we each pick 10, we're going to do 20 songs, and we'll do another one at the end of the year, right, from the next mixes I put together.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I know I just repeated exactly what you said, but.
You said it much sexier.
Well, that's true of everything.
And we should get into our background for being able to talk about this stuff. You used to be a drummer in a band, and you have an encyclopedic knowledge of music from like 1960 to 2013. And I dated a cellist for 4 months.
So you win.
No, I lose.
Everybody loses when they date a cellist. What the? Is there a chicken in there?
That's my phone.
Oh.
But yes, to answer your question.
There is also a chicken. As long as things are status quo, good. All right. Well, let's just get into the shit. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
Inside a darkened room, there's nothing left to steal. Jesus Christ, my aim is true. It's soft as shit in the afternoon. I was sleeping on a subway train. I could forget my name. We were going insane. I can see what's wrong with me, but I can't conceive an authority. It's summer last, so dear. Sleep in a hurricane. It made you late for school. We're driving fast. You need a school.
All right, that was the first track, and that was Pat's pick. We're alternating picks. That was Pat's pick, and it was James by X Cops. So, Pat, take it away.
So, one of the things that struck me about this song was the title, and it has nothing to do with the actual song, but it made me think of the band James.
Oh, who did Laid.
Right, and a couple other things, but Laid is what the only thing you really think of. And the name is probably the only thing that ties the two together, but brought it in mind. And in thinking about James, I looked up what the lead singer was doing, and did you know he played the serial killer supervillain in Batman Begins, Victor Zsasz?
No, I had no idea.
It was a bit part, but he had a named character in Batman Begins, so he's more famous than just for James. But I think how I would describe the song, and I hope we don't use this word too much today, but we probably will, is driving. It starts and keeps going and going and going. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, no, and, totally.
It starts with that voicemail clip. I couldn't really understand what they're saying.
Oh, I have no idea either.
It goes from that, and then just the song starts and just go. And the singing, it's soft and gentle, but it's still pushing forward the whole time. It's a wonderful song.
Yeah, it's indie pop, like upbeat indie pop.
Yeah, yeah. And midway through their song, there's that, I don't know if it's called a bridge, but it's that the singing stops and the bass kind of goes up and there's some background vocals. And then there's a verse with no guitar and just his voice. And it quickly goes back to the regular song how it was before with a little bit more of that voicemail sound. And that just sounded great.
Yeah, that's a cool musical trick always. to drop shit out and then
yeah.
build it back up. Yeah, no, it's a good song. They are out of Brooklyn. And I didn't know. So Brian Harding is the main guy. He was in some band called Hymns, who H-Y-M-N-S. I'd never heard, but apparently they were like an alt country band, which this doesn't sound like at all.
No.
And then a recent addition is Amelie Boun, B-U-U-N. I'm hoping, I don't know how you pronounce that. She's in a band called Minx, who I also like. They're very like, they're more like this kind of 80s alternative. What is going on over there, dude?
There was this fan going and it was making this weird noise, so I went to turn it off and I tried to be spy-like about it and the fan fell apart.
Yeah, that worked out real well. So Pat's doing something with sex toys over there. But yeah, anyway, she's in a band called Minx. They've got one album out, and they got another one coming out in August, I think. And they're kind of like 80s-ish, like Cure kind of, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat.
And they're put out by Other Music, the record store in New York, in Manhattan, that I always go to whenever I'm in New York. It's their label that record store puts them out. Oh, so, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool song, X-Cops. Check it out. That song was My Bloody Valentine. That was my pick. A song called New You. Basically, there's no way I wasn't going to choose a My Bloody Valentine song for this because it's been, what, 22 years since their last album? And is this album worth 22 years wait? No, but no album's really worth 22 years wait.
I don't think I realized that. I knew about Bloody Valentine. I didn't know it was such a long time since their last album. So that's
'91.
Jeez.
So people have been waiting for this forever, and you know it's been promised for probably about 20 years that there would be a follow up, and it just sounds like My Bloody Valentine. I mean, that's, you know, that tremolo guitar, and they're more about kind of soundscapes than songs. I think it's not something that you're going to be humming.
Right.
On your way to work, but it's more about the overall feel, and this one's kind of has a bit of a drum and bass influence and stuff too, which is new for them. And I always like, I really like female singers, so I like when she sings more than when Kevin Shields sings. But anyway, yeah, this one just basically had to be on there because I've been a fan forever. Did you have any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I liked her. She has a great voice. And at some points, I felt like the song was building to something, like it was going up to something, and it never quite got there. So it ends up just being a pleasant ride. It's not, but like you said, soundscapes.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Feelies did that a lot, like a lot of rave up, and then but then really no big payoff, which I think is just kind of one way of like subverting traditional ideas of what songs are supposed to do, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm being really highfalutin about it, but I can dig that.
No, that makes sense to me, yeah.
I live in the sits off the floor and drinking tea. But she don't love me, that's news to me. I met your daughter the other day, well, that was weird. She had rhinoceros-shaped earrings in her ears. But, hey man, have a soda, it's on the house. Remember what I told you about the rooms inside this house? But you don't love me, that's news to me. That's news to me, that's news to us.
All right, that was Pat's pick. Pat, go ahead.
This is a different sort of song. It's there's nothing but change. The song, there is not one song here. It's like five songs in one. Oh, it's Shuggy by Foxygen.
By Foxygen, yeah.
Over the course of the song, we seem to be going through three or maybe even more different styles, and it's all the styles are good. I like it all the way through. It starts off with that 60s-ish dreamy sounding music with the light horn on top of the drums and some guitar and the vocals,
kind of Bill and Sebastian-ish, right?
Yeah,
and or like some kind of 60s French pop thing or something. Yeah
And then it kind of changes a little bit.
Oh yeah, then I mean, well, like you said, it's like there's a bunch of time changes in it and just total tonal shifts all over the place.
Must have been a...
All right, yeah, we had some technical difficulties there, so we're going again. Sorry, what were you saying, Pat?
What was I saying?
The last thing I said was there's tonal shifts all over the place.
Oh, okay, I didn't hear that.
And then you
cut
out, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I was talking about. Yeah, it's a very interesting song because it does go all over the place. And always in good ways, and through the beginning and middle, it's always going back to that 60s-ish pop stuff. But then by the end, it just goes off the rails and has the bop bop dee da da stuff. And
yeah,
it's wonderful.
Yeah, the whole album is good. I mean, they're like two young dudes who are friends in L.A., and I guess one of them went off to school on the East Coast, and they got together. I don't know if he's back in L.A. now where they recorded this, or if they're doing a bi-coastal thing, but yeah, they're stylistically all over the place on the whole album. They obviously listen to a lot of like AM radio from the 70s and stuff. Well, not radio, obviously they weren't even alive, but the songs that were on AM radio in the 70s and you know, classic rock, everything's all mixed up in there. I really like the album a lot. You there?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I just got worried since it cut out then. Okay.
I was being silent for the next song.
All right, that was Bleeding Rainbow with Waking Dream, my pick. I guess they used to be called Reading Rainbow and changed their name because people mocked them for it.
Yeah, I saw that Carrie Brownstein suggested the name change.
Yeah, apparently she wasn't a fan. So I guess if Carrie Brownstein gives you musical advice, you listen to it.
Yeah.
They are a husband and wife team from your home city, Philadelphia.
I saw that.
Originally, I guess they're in Virginia now. But yeah, that's like another 80s throwback to me anyway. It sounds a lot like kind of a lot of the 80s psychedelic pop, like Voice of the Beehive was a group that it reminded me of. Just that sound it goes back to. So it's not just a nostalgic thing. I mean, it's a really good song, but it is a sound that I can identify with.
And it's a song. It's filled with sharp edges, the song. It's like the guitar is kind of pointed, the pointed notes, and the drums. It's a lot of percussion. It's really neat.
Yeah, it's a really cool song. We had a really hard time narrowing this down to 10 songs each. So for the most part, I think both of us just kind of picked really catchy, somewhat traditional song, you know, song structures. Like there's not any really weird musique concrète or, you know, experimental shit on our list. And this is in keeping with that. No dubstep, you know, nothing too out there. It's all catchy stuff.
So if you don't like it, go fuck yourself.
I'm glad you said it before I did.
Another interesting thing about this song is that the chorus sits in it's stark contrast to the rest of the song. The chorus is all sunshine and all great stuff, and then the rest of the song
is kind of punky.
And have you ever had a waking dream?
Not really. I've had, you know, like when I'm like half, when I'm drifting off to sleep, I guess you would call it. I'll sometimes have dreams when I'm half awake. I don't know if that's the same thing as a waking dream.
Oh, I don't know, because waking dreams are fucking terrifying.
Oh, is that like sleepwalking shit?
It's not. No, you're not. No, it's. I guess it's the opposite, because you wake up, and you're supposed to still be sleeping, so your body is paralyzed. So
oh,
you're.
Yes, I've had that once, and it freaked me the hell out.
It
lasted for a few seconds, the paralysis.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It's kind. But for me, I've had it like 10 times over the course of my life. And it's terrifying when you're in it. But when I woke up, I felt like that was kind of awesome. So it's a little of both.
Well, and I mean, let's be honest. You probably deserved it for something.
Oh, certainly.
It's obviously some kind of payback. Just like my irritable bowel syndrome.
Well, you asked for that, so.
I did. I prayed. I prayed to the Lord.
And as usual, he answered in spades.
In spades and in explosive diarrhea.
The currency of heaven.
Golden light, don't know why. If I run to you, would you stay? I might be a prototype, but we're both real inside.
That was your pick, Pat, so go for it.
It's Rah Rah Riot's Beta Love, and it's a catchy, fun song, but I'm one of the big things I like about it is this: it's the sort of science fiction song I can be a part of. It's late sci-fi. It's not that hard, nerdy stuff that you like with your Rush. It's just a simple story of a robot looking for love. He might be a prototype, but it doesn't mean his love isn't real. It's cute.
And see, where to me, it completely defies the laws of physics and where we're at with robotics, so I can't, you know, I'm hard sci-fi. I can't go wrong with that. I don't give a shit about any of that I just said. just for you listeners who want to write to me about it. I don't give a fuck about your geekiness. Yeah, it's like a catchy kind of distorted dance song.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really liked their very first album, but it was much, much different. It was more rock with some like chamber elements, but they, I guess.
Really?
Before this album, they didn't let her go. I think their cellist left and they didn't replace her. And they've been moving towards more dance stuff, but yeah, they were rock. I like this song. I'm not a big fan of the new album so much, but I should probably give it more of a chance. Veronica Falls with Teenage, my pick, and they're a group out of London who sound very British to me. They sound like the C86 movement from back in the 80s. I don't know if you know anything about that, but NME, one of the music magazines in 86, put out a cassette compilation called C86, and it was a bunch of kind of lo-fi garage pop bands that kind of spawned a underground movement and stuff. The Shop Assistants, I don't know if you know them. That anyway, it doesn't matter. That's what it reminds me of. But I really like this one too. I mean, like I said, it's just good and catchy.
I like how most of the song, it's the two of them, I think just the two of them singing it, but his voice is a little bit subtle, so you just kind of hear it, and at the end it's really pronounced and they're singing to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like singing duos. We have a few of those on here.
But what do you think this song's about? I wasn't real sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm not either. I don't even care. Okay. It's all about the music for me. Teenage is the title. That gives you enough, I think. You know? I mean, yeah. That's basically the topic of most pop songs.
I like one of the ways that she's tempting him or her to be with her is, I'll let you play your music.
I'll let you play your music. Well, you know, and that can be a big deal if your music is Steely Dan or something. You know what I mean? That's a real sacrifice. The Doobie Brothers.
We hit a point after 2 or 3 days.
Was your pick
Chris Stamey with You and Me and XTC, which is appropriate since we recently talked about the XTC album.
Yeah,
And when I first heard this song, I assumed it was written by some guy who was an XTC fan as a kid and just wanted to write it as a tribute. But I was a little bit disappointed to hear it was written by someone who's from the same generation, was singing at the same time. But I thought it was a great song. It was pleasant. It had a great chorus with the horns and everything surrounding it. And a couple of times the lyrics build up to a point and they crash into this great into the chorus with every good crescendo. So that was neat.
Yeah. Well, Chris Stamey, I mean, he was a member of the DBs in the 80s. One of the great power pop bands, keeping the flame alive back then, him along with Peter Hallsapple, and Chris Stamey started, I think he's from the South somewhere originally, North Carolina, maybe West Virginia. I don't know. You know, they're all the same to me. But I think then he went to New York and started doing some music before he formed the DBs. And, he's just a really good song craft, like you would expect from somebody who's been around that long.
And I was reading, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
That he had asked Andy Partridge to sing on this song. He was turned down, but it's pretty neat that he asked him.
Oh, that is cool. I didn't know that.
And the same article said that Partridge wasn't interested in singing, but he gave his notes on the whole album. So he had input.
Oh, no shit. I mean, that's kind of cool and dickish at the same time. But yeah, how can you not like a song that's talking about XTC and just, you know, taking a road trip, listening to cool music? It's a really nice song. Chris Stamey, he should be better known.
And so he was Alex Chilton's guitarist, or?
Yeah, I think he did play with Alex Chilton. Alex Chilton solo, big star, obviously one of the giants of power pop, pretty much unknown in their day. But yeah, there is a direct line from big star to the DBs. I hadn't remembered that, but that makes sense that he'd play with it. And that's GRRRLS with Past Tense, my pick. They are out of Glasgow, I think. And they were actually just toured in support of Veronica Falls. So similar sensibility. Indie pop, again. You know, that's, I just love this shit.
Yeah.
It's catchy, bit lo-fi recording quality wise, but you know, it gets in there and gets the job done and it's out. It just wants to make you hum or dance.
And I like that there's no build up. The song just starts as if you turned it on right in the middle.
Right in the middle, yeah. No, it's great. They probably don't have the money for that bullshit, you know? Can't spend a lot of time coming up with structures for the things, just bash it out. Not a lot to say. You'll hear another kind of duo singing. I mean, you can't call it a duet, but you know, there's male and female. I don't know much about them. I think they're just friends. I don't think there's any relationship between the people in the band or anything. But
and at points, his voice kind of reminded me of the guy from what's it called, Wedding Present?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Gedge, yeah.
I don't know if it was the accent or something about the voice.
Kind of the, yeah, the weird gulpy, catch-in-the-throat kind of singing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And thinking about their name forced me to get into that common research cycle we all do where we research stuff that has no meaning for the rest of our lives, but just keep looking at Wikipedia and websites until you get this unneeded minutia. Because I didn't realize that the term Riot Girl could be linked back to such a small group of women. I thought it was just like some music press coined the term and it stuck. But it was...
Oh, yeah, Kathleen Hanna and Bikini Kill. And yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, there is a... She was in Washington, and Jen Smith and I forget the other people in Bratmobile were in D.C. And one summer, Kathleen Hanna came out to D.C. and they got together. And Jen Smith wrote in some zine that this summer there's going to be a girl riot. And it morphed eventually into Riot Girls. So it's kind of neat.
That's interesting because I didn't know that, or if I did, I'd forgotten it long ago. That's pretty cool.
And so this all led up to the Scottish band mashing up Golden Girls, the classic television show, with this to, you know.
And Riot Girls, which is, that's a pretty good description of their sound. I think, you know, B. Arthur and Bikini Kill. There you go.
It's a lady with a song called Money, and it's a good song from start to finish. There is nothing bad about this song, and it's kind of a throwback, a 70s kind of soul song, but not altogether. It's also its own thing. The awesome singing, fun direct lyrics, and the horns and guitar are altogether perfect.
Oh yeah.
And I like the digression in the middle of the song where it's kind of like this independent woman and blah, blah, blah. And then in the middle of the song, it's just a love affair with money. It's just like, I need you, money.
Got to pay the bills. Yeah, I would have chosen this one until you told me you had it on your list. So that was one down. Yeah, it's a retro soul thing, but it's done really well. They obviously know their shit.
Oh,
and, yeah. And they make it, you can't say they make it new completely, but they do it with real soul. I mean, it's not just an homage like a lot of retro soul is, you know?
Right.
They've got the soul to go with it, which is why it works. Yeah. I was reading about them. So, they were, I don't know how much you know about them. So it's apparently they both had careers before this, but I'd never heard of either of them. Terry Walker, who was from London, I think, and had some solo albums out. One of them won the Mercury Prize, I think. But I'd never heard of her. And she sang backup for Fergie and some bullshit like that. And the other one's Nicole Ray from Virginia, who had also done like backup for Missy Elliott and Kid Cudi, who we have coming up. And they met in New York and, you know, had a shared love of this kind of music. And they put together an album of it, and yeah.
Have you heard the rest of the album? Is it all as good as this?
It is. I think. I mean, it's all 70s soul sounding. But that's not a bad thing by any means.
No.
And it's all It's all, yeah, very high quality and real. I definitely encourage people to buy it. Fuck is going on with that chicken and or phone?
Gonna kill the chicken. I killed it dead.
All right. May we proceed?
Please.
So that was my pick, Fireworks with Higher and Higher. Don't know a lot about them either. I from what I read is some dude in London who ran like a an indie pop disco night at some club or something, and decided to make some music. So this is another one that's in my right in my zone because it could be straight out of 1985. It's got the Jesus and Mary Chain sound, kind of that Candy Center with the crunchy guitar outside, you know. And it even sounds like it was recorded in 85. I don't know, man. It's just pop with distortion, pop punk. I don't really like that term because it makes me think of something like Green Day or something. But just it's not gonna change your world, but it's fucking pleasant enough for the 2.5 minutes it's on.
And it's intense. The energy is just constant. The 2.5 minutes, it's just constant on.
Oh yeah, when when I'm like editing these things in GarageBand, it just shows you the waveform, and most of the songs they're up and down. This one is just like solid, straight across the waveform. It's all the same intensity.
I'm not a huge fan of that noisy guitar, but I think this song rises above it. I liked it.
Well, and I don't think there's anything to rise above because I think it's music to my ears that. Sound. That's my favorite sound is distorted guitar. I could you should listen to Metal Machine Music by Lou Reed a few times. You'll come around.
Spent the last month feeling bad by myself. I couldn't speak anything to build hope. And the day came when it hit me like lightning through my veins. A sudden change in my groove, in my walk. I got my lying heart, an electric flowing through my brain. The shocking waves make me feel like I can float. It's like the city is mine, and the dark is my cave. I can't explain the sudden. In my hope, I sure hope I'm living my life as if I got powers. And tonight I'm feeling more. I said tonight I'm feeling more. Oh, tonight I'm feeling more. Whoa.
All right, Pat.
Kid Cudi with, or Cudi with Immortal, Cudi yeah. with Immortal.
Yeah.
Is it possible to say anything bad about a song that starts with a clip from Billy Madison?
Is that what it's from? Shit, I didn't even recognize it.
Yeah.
God damn it.
When he wins the spelling bee. It's a great song. Nothing to do with Billy Madison. It's a great song. Much like Beta Love, this song creates a story in my head that it's bigger than what the song actually is. Like, if I were to describe, it's like he's a superhero that cannot and will not be touched. His mojo is too deep. He has a lion heart and electric flowing through his brain. It's just, it's fun. And it's also kind of, I don't know if deep, but it's like talking about when you have problems and you get above the problems, you feel like you're immortal. You're when you're able to defeat, you know, if it's depression, whatever it is, when you're able to not get above it, but move on from it, you really feel good about yourself. And I liked it.
Oh yeah. And if he doesn't have Samuel L. Jackson in the video, he's a fool. No, I liked it too. I was not so thrilled with the album overall, but I like this song a lot. And I'm a fan of his other stuff that he's done. This one I don't know. There's a little too much. I don't know. You know, I have a hard time. It's hard when you listen to hip hop and there's like misogyny and like the use of the word faggot and stuff, you know, like no matter how good the music is, it turns me off. So,
and especially when it's really casual and it's like no big deal.
Right, right. Exactly. So there's some of that, but I'll give it another chance.
This song doesn't have any of that. So
no, it doesn't. And it's he uses samples MGMT Congratulations.
Backwards,
yeah, which is pretty cool.
So when I was listening to it, I didn't know what the song was. I was like, this sounds like something backwards. And I was reading something about the song, and they mentioned that. I was like, oh, that's neat.
Yeah, it gives it a nice psychedelic feel.
Yeah, yeah.
And he collaborated with them before on one of their songs. So.
And when I was listening to it at first, I wasn't really paying attention to the lyrics. So I felt like he kept saying, I think I'm feeling Moreau. And I was like, oh, I guess he's referencing Island of Dr. Moreau.
Which would have taken it to another level, really.
Yeah.
It's comic booky enough.
Yeah.
It's cool. That was my pick. That was Suede, or as they're forced to be called here, the London Suede, with It Starts and Ends With You. I'd imagine if you were around into music in the 90s, you know Suede. They were one of the Britpop giants, you know, kind of David Bowie influence, maybe some Roxy music and glam guitar. And it's just a catchy song. Another one that's just like very traditional songwriting, where it's guitar, bass, and drums, and they're interested in creating hooks, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like the repetition of similes to start the song.
Oh, yeah.
Especially like a hairline crack in a radiator leaking life.
That's only drugs can give you those kind of lyrics.
Well said. The chorus is kind of nightmarish. Shouting makes things worse. He can't stand. He's crawling on the floor like his puppet strings are cut. It's yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that was probably inspired by, you know, him stubbing his toe or something and then making it all epic. But but it's still, yeah, well, I mean, that's a very peculiarly British thing, you know, the catchy chorus with the kind of nightmarish lyrics. We've talked about it before. Again, just a pretty straightforward, catchy song. That always does it for me most of the time, unless it's, you know, mood music or something. I can get into all kinds of shit, but like, just for something to just make me smile, it's almost always very simple songs. So that worked.
Edwin Collins, Too Bad, That's Sad. And this is a really good song. It's really a delightful upbeat trip with Collins singing and nice background music. And it starts with a kind of a Motown feel.
Yeah, definite Motown feel.
I read a story, not specifically about this song, but about Collins. He had a stroke a few years ago.
Yeah, and, I like some kind of hemorrhage or
yeah, maybe not.
Hemorrhage. Yeah, I had to have brain surgery.
And after the stroke, he could only say a few things. Yes, no, Grace Maxwell, and the possibilities are endless. First off, he's able to write and perform songs after being so strongly debilitated by a stroke. It's kind of crazy.
No shit.
Second, the possibilities are endless is on his list of things he can say. Yes, no, I can see Grace Maxwell is his girlfriend or wife or whatever, but the possibilities are endless. He's debilitated and still saying things that are like that. It's like Kid Cudi might have electric flowing through his brain. Collins must have some kind of double strength positive thinking going through his.
It's pretty fucking awesome. I hadn't heard that. That story, the possibilities are endless. But yeah, holy shit, I would aspire to say that after I had brain surgery, but I think it would probably just be for me more like fuck.
Now I think he can't use, I don't know if he can't use his hand, his left side, or if it's just, it's limited, but he sounds awesome.
Yeah. No, well, he was in Orange Juice. In the 80s, another great underground indie pop band that nobody heard of.
Except for Bell and Sebastian.
And yeah, definitely inspired Bell and Sebastian. And yeah, no, I love this song too. This is another one that I would have picked if you hadn't. I just love that Motown feel. And that's something the English white people can do better than anybody. I guess because they had that whole Northern soul scene and stuff there, you know, but they could just integrate it so well into pop songs. You know, the soul feel, the Jam did it. I mean, there's a million bands that were really good at it. Yeah, that's an awesome song and an awesome story.
Child is now changing a bright light.
right, my pick, Johnny Marr, European Me. Obviously, guitar player for the Smiths. His first solo album. First time singing, as far as I know. I know he did, he had another band at one point that was kind of shitty. I don't know if he sang in them or not, the Healers. Or the album just wasn't that good. But this is another one that's back to the 80s. You know, it's got, I mean, it could have come out, it could have been a Smith song, honestly,
yeah, easily
in like 87, you know?
The guitar sounds very Smith-ish. I didn't know this was his first time singing. That's kind of crazy.
I might be talking out my ass. Like I said, he might have done it before, but I think it is.
But, I mean, why did it take so long for him to have his own solo album, too?
I don't know. I mean, I think he was just, I think maybe he was insecure or something. You know, he worked with a lot of other artists and stuff, a lot. Billy Bragg and... You know, he had the electronic with the dude from New Order, and he was in Modest Mouse and played on, you know, he was like a guitar player for hire for a long time, played on some Pretenders stuff and the just all over the place. But yeah, I don't really know, because it's a really good song. I like the album. He's obviously got the songwriting skills, and he's nowhere near the dickhead that Morrissey has become.
This concert is going to have no meat. Well, actually, it is. It's not.
Fuck you, Morrissey. R.I.P. I just assume he'll be dead by the time we post this one. But, yeah, no, you know, I don't know what you call it. Alternative, Britpop-ish. Well, you just heard it. Make up your own definition. A good song, and... As a, you know, it's like the same thing with My Bloody Valentine for me. You know, there's some people I'm always going to give a pass to. Not that these songs needed passes, but I mean, I'm always going to probably rate more highly than just somebody who's never heard of them. But, you know, The Smiths was part of my high school years, so Johnny Marr gets in.
Wire, Love Bends. And this is one of those infectious songs that you listen to once and it stays with you for a long time.
Yep.
I mean, you might not have listened to it forever, but it'll still get in your head and take its time in leaving. Really good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Wire is one of my favorite bands of all time. They were, you know, class of 77 art punks. And this song, well, this album that this came on off of was a lot of, I guess, unreleased songs from that period that they retooled and reworked and made into new songs. And it's, yeah, no, I love this one.
And apparently this is a reworking of a song called Piano Tuner, Keep Working on Those Guitars.
Yeah.
From 81. I tracked down the original, and no offense to 1981, but Love Bends is definitely an improvement.
It is. Although the previous title was better, I have to say.
Yeah, well, it works too with the way that song sounds with the guitar is kind of intense. So,
yeah, no, that's a great one. Yeah, art punk. I don't even know how else to describe it. Although not nearly as punk. Much emphasis on the punk here. Like you could almost picture like somebody like Genesis or something doing this way back in the day. Not to disparage it, because it's a great song, but. Yeah, you got anything else on Wire?
No.
After all, you suffer and you won't escape.
my pick, Laura Stevenson with Runner. I don't know what it is about this song. This one was a grower for me, and the more I heard it, the more insanely catchy it sounded to me. The chorus especially, "This Summer Hurts," another one where it's, that's, you know, that could mean a lot of things, and none of them especially good, but it sounds so joyous. The way she's, I don't know, I fucking love this song. This might be my favorite. That's kind of stupid to try to pick one, but I really love this song.
It's a nice, a simple song. Like you said, you like the simple songs. And the really nice thing about it is that her voice does most of the work. So she'll be singing, there's not a lot going on around it, and it's really nice. And her voice is more than up to the task.
Yeah, and well, and her voice is great on it, and all the multi-tracking of her voice. But then, I mean, you do also notice there's some cool little guitar parts in there and stuff too. But they're just more, they kind of add color to the song, you know what I mean? More than get in your face. Yeah, that song kicks ass.
So I think this was the Paranoid style with More Than Faintly Absurd, and this was definitely my favorite of the mix. As you say, it's stupid, but I really like this song. It has a wonderful melody that runs throughout the song. It starts on the guitar, and then I think after that, midway through, it goes to the piano. And the lyrics are, they have such a rich vocabulary. The song tells a bit of a story. It has a couple funny lines. I really like it. The music is consistent all the way through, but a little bit after the 2 minute mark, the singing becomes more frantic, and then it ends in a splash.
Right, and this is definitely, if they use the term anymore, this would be a definition of college rock. I think it's very, you know, they mentioned Saul Bellow, and you know, the lyrics.
I didn't
are,
get that reference though.
I didn't either.
Okay.
I don't know.
And later in the song, there's another author or someone referenced, and I couldn't pick up the name.
Oh, shit. If I could hear it in my head right now, I might know.
It sounds like Hermano, but it's like something like Zimmerano or something like that.
Well, I have no idea. I think we all know from Arrested Development what Hermano means.
Yeah. It's like, just give me a sign, like Zimmerano, you believe mine.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. Who the hell knows?
It's a very pretty song. It's mostly sedate, but it speeds up and gets your adrenaline going.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's
phenomenal.
Another husband and wife team. I guess they're based in DC now.
I was reading an interview with them, and it was one of those interviews where they give like boilerplate questions. One of them was the best show you ever went to, and the best show he ever went to was a Lou Reed show where Lou Reed was refusing to sing any song that had drug references. It was still good.
Oh, speaking of dicks, Morrissey. Lou Reed's got to be up there as one of the grade A assholes in all of rock and roll. I don't say that to put him down. I got to admire it. Yeah, the dude was in a band called the Mendoza Line, who I've got some stuff by. I like the woman is in, I guess she plays cello or something in Bird of Youth. I don't know them. So, but this is a awesome. It was just an EP they put out, but pretty awesome. I forgot to mention about Laura Stevenson. She's from Long Island, but I don't know if you read up on her. Her grandfather was like a composer and stuff and pianist, and he arranged the song The Little Drummer Boy and got writing credit on it. And her grandmother sang with Benny Goodman, so she's got a pedigree.
Nice lineage.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, I thought. I meant to mention it.
The legend of the phoenix, huh. All ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.
And that one was the one that probably everybody is going to recognize, because I'm sure it's getting played on the radio as an early summer jam. Daft Punk, Get Lucky, featuring Pharrell Williams. Yeah, it's just a fucking dance song, man. But, you know, that sometimes that's what you want, and it works. Just about trying to get laid in a club, you know, which... What else do you want from a dance song? That was Donna Summer's whole career, right?
And once this song started, a disco ball starts turning in my head. It really is a dance song.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it starts turning in my pants. It is. It's total dance song. And it was weird because this album got so much... pre-release hype, and then there was a backlash and stuff. It's a good solid album. I mean, you know exactly what you're getting with Daft Punk if you're excited about their record. It's good. It's good solid dance music, and they do some experiments. I think the whole thing's worth buying. I didn't get into any of the back and forth on the merits of it that they got into online, but
So there's some kind of controversy about this
I don't
album?
Know. Well, like I said, there was so much hype and expectation for it. And,
oh, okay.
And who knows why, you know, who knows why? The internet built some shit up with Pitchfork or whoever, you know, I don't know. But then there was the inevitable backlash, like, this isn't that great, wise, you know. But it is. It's a good album. And a good song. You can hear it there. It's just there to make you smile.
This was Bleached with Next Stop. It's a very fun, catchy song. I can't believe we've gone through this whole thing, and this is the first song where I mentioned another song that it reminds me of. But anyway, the first 2 seconds of this song make me think of Stereototal's Crazy Horse.
Oh, Stereototal. Yeah, that's good.
The rest of the song has nothing in common with it, but those 2 seconds right there. It's right there. I like the repetition with Next Stop. It's a lot of lines start with that, and it's a good sound. It makes you feel like you're on the train, and it's just fun. I don't know where you classify this, but it's a fun song. Girl punk, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Garage surf.
Yeah,
who knows? Yeah, a couple of sisters in the band, a lot of families on this edition, or family members. Yeah, I don't know much about them either. They were both formerly in a band called Mika Miko, who I don't know anything about, but I gather they were some kind of more punkish band out of L.A. Oh, it's a good another one that's like a good summer song. You know, if people still listen to the radio and drove convertibles down Highway 1, it'd be a good song to listen to.
No, they just go down Highway 1 using Google Maps. So they could do it in their home.
It's the end of an era. I don't really know what you're going for with that. but that was some nice old manism. And well, so for the last song, I'm just gonna play it at the end. But it's Harmar Superstar, Prisoner, featuring Fabrizio Moretti. Fabrizio. And
he's from Jersey.
Yeah, he is. it's another kind of retro soul thing. And I didn't know, for some reason, I'd heard of Harmar Superstar, you know, for a while, but I thought they were like one of those fake alternative bands, like Coldplay or something, you know? So, and I don't know why I had to have them mixed up with somebody else. I don't know why that was in my head, but it was a really good song. Good, 70s blaxploitation kind of sound to this.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Would it fit in really well over the credits of a 70s crime movie. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's just like some pudgy white dude who looks like Ron Jeremy. I don't know if you've seen pictures of him. He's from St. Paul, Minnesota. And yeah, just a cool song. So we'll play that one over the end.
And if you were to tell me that this song was written by or for Stevie Wonder, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Stevie Wonder back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what he sounds like now, but yeah.
Yeah, I think who knows? He sings songs about, I'm assuming, assisted living facilities at this point.
Well, David Bowie does too, but they sound good.
That's true. Stevie Wonder's don't. I mean, I haven't really heard much since I just called to say I love you, which is where I dropped off with Stevie, as I was right to do. But, all right, we got through that in 3 separate recording sessions because shit kept cutting out. But, you got anything just off the cuff you want to talk about?
Nothing's
in my
head. Fuck
you, man. Fuck you.
I'm glad I didn't bring up the important topic. Thank God.
Yeah, no, I don't have a... I'm trying to think. Anything? It was Prince's birthday yesterday.
How did you celebrate?
I beat up a hooker.
Prince would never do that. He would have one of his assistants do it, but he would never do
it's
it himself.
True. I think he has. I think he has a whole entourage just for beating up hookers. You know, those Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't approve of that.
Well, in spite of that, I went to Carvel and ordered a purple cake, and when it came, I just threw it right in the person's face.
That Prince would approve of that. He would do that himself.
It's the kind of celebrating he can actually religiously do, because Jehovah's Witness doesn't mind that.
Yeah, that's all I got going on. Prince's birthday was I don't know.
There had to be something beyond that. Don't let everyone listening in suspense.
Well, it was a Facebook post that I did the other day, but I was thinking about it because it was true. Because I heard that song, "The Wind Beneath My Wings," right? And And, you know, towards the end, when she starts going fly, singing, I can't stop fucking laughing at that shit, dude. I don't know why. I find that the funniest thing on God's green hell.
Why did you listen to the whole thing? What is going
Oh, I
on?
didn't listen. I was somewhere and it was playing near the end.
Oh, okay.
So, but I so I came in right at the sweet spot.
I thought you were in the elevator and you had to stay on all the way up to the 30th floor to hear the end of the song.
I probably would have, had I remembered those flies came in at the end. Because that's high comedy, man.
I don't know if you noticed this episode, I might have sounded a little bit more intelligent because I'm wearing glasses.
Oh, I did notice. Wait, did you always wear glasses?
No, just recently I started wearing them, so I think maybe the past couple podcasts you might not have wanted to mention it because maybe you thought earlier I had brain damage, but I have been wearing glasses, so I probably sounded a little more coherent.
Yeah, I mean, you sound like you've been helping people find their books in the library a little bit.
Thank you. I have been.
So your eyesight's all shot to fuck now, is
Oh,
basically
actually,
what you're saying.
I've had the same prescription since I was like 26, and I used to always only wear it for driving. But a couple weeks ago, I said, "Let me see what it's like to wear the glasses all the time." And I kind of have bad eyesight, and I didn't realize it. So I went a
Oh,
couple days. I went a couple days wearing them, and then I took them off for a couple hours. Like, oh wow, things are blurry, and they're not supposed to be.
yeah,
So
you're like, oh, the world's not supposed to be blurry.
I just thought it was like not that bad of a prescription, so I just should just wear it for driving. But it turns out it actually works out nicely when I wear them all the time.
Yeah, it turns out optometrists know more about your eyesight than you do. Who would have known?
Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. So, do you like dislike all musicals?
Pretty much. I mean, my problem with musicals is that they lack soul. Like the sing, it's it's so white bread, and very white Broadway musical soundtracks that I just there's no edge to them at all. It's
Yeah.
all it sounds like it was all written by Mormons to me, you know? No
Well, you
matter
might
the
like Book of Mormon.
subject matter or whatever, it's just very, yeah. It's not a style of music. And it's very melodramatic, a lot of it, and Brill Building, Tin Pan Alley kind of, which I'm not necessarily averse to, but just heavily orchestrated and overdone. Yeah, I'm not a fan. I mean, I saw something popped up on like Facebook or Amazon or some shit, some ad for like Motown the musical, and I was like, who the fuck would buy this? Because you
Now,
can get the actual Motown songs.
I hear you there, but I used to think I disliked all musicals based on the fact that Phantom of the Opera is. I heard that at one time, and it's kind of terrible. I
Well,
mean, it's
Andrew
really,
Lloyd
really
Webber is
terrible.
deadly-ish, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I based on that, but I went to see Into the is it called Into the Woods? I think a Sondheim musical, and it was. I really enjoyed it more than I expected to. So I think I dislike musicals less than I thought.
I've heard Sondheim is, I mean, I wouldn't know him from a hole in my dick, but I've heard he's the best of the musical writers. He did Sweeney Todd, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, to make my point less not as good as the fact that the musical I saw had included the song "Send in the Clowns," which was a low point for me. But
Oh yeah, it's a low point in
it's really
it's
a
a low point
terrible
in the
song.
history of the world.
But the rest of the show was good.
Huh. Wait, what was it? Which show was it?
Into the Woods,
Into the Woods. Yeah, I don't know
and
about
it's
it at all.
based on an Ingmar Bergman movie about a just
Spring
sexual
Break?
escapades. What?
I said Spring Break.
Well, all of them have the subtext of
We,
that. I broke.
well, I mean, I'll check it out. I'll listen to anything. If you say it's worth it, I mean, I'll skip Send in the Clowns. I know that.
Well, it doesn't come to the end, so you're a little bit helped out.
Does Judy Collins sing "Send in the Clowns"?
Is she the one that made it famous? I thought it was Judy Garland. Yeah, somebody bad.
All right. Well, what the hell? I did when I was like 8. I liked Grease, the movie.
Oh wait, did I say Into the Woods? I meant A Little Night Music. I'm sorry.
Oh, I can see how you get those confused. Yeah, I liked Grease and Hair, the movies.
Yeah, I liked Grease when I was a kid. The John Travolta, yeah. Olivia Newton-John.
And I'll still sing Summer Nights as a duet at karaoke. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm open to it. I know there's good music in every genre, so I'll check it out. A Little Night Music, is that your final answer?
Yeah, it's based on Smiles of a Summer Night.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen that? I'll have to get that to check it out.
I think I've got it, but I haven't watched it. I got like some Criterion Collection Ingmar Bergman like set that came with like 4 movies, and I think that's one of them in there. But I only watched The Seventh Seal.
So recently, you had mentioned on Facebook that Criterion, they had a lot of stuff on sale, and I was just going through to see if there's anything I wanted to pick up. It's surprising how wide their net is.
Oh yeah, man.
They have everything. Like, not necessarily everything you like, but most things you'll like. But there's not much not many genres they don't touch, and that's neat.
Yeah, I got Repo Man for my birthday, which is, you know, 80s, I don't know, independent film,
cult classic,
yeah, but it's not all. I mean, I think people think they do a lot of really stuffy, you know, but they're all over the place. They did they released an edition of Spinal Tap a long time ago, and RoboCop and shit, you know.
Well, that RoboCop kind of goes with that whole Verhoeven cult, so I'm less impressed with that.
Yeah, let's not even start talking about that. I think we both knew somebody online, at least, who was part of that. And I just don't get it. But Verhoeven, we should do Verhoeven films versus each other sometime.
Yeah.
If we can sit through them.
Well, I don't have anything else to say.
I haven't had anything to say for the last 30 minutes. All right. You want to call it a day there, then?
I think so.
Yeah, so go out and, you know, you can go on iTunes and make your own mix of this stuff and go explore. We encourage it. And next week, we don't know what we're doing, so you'll just have to tune in. All right, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.